portion of scripture we read from the book of Judges comes from the part of the book where the Philistines were in control. They had dominated Israel, and they ruled over them. And the Bible says that God sought an occasion against them, against the Philistines, to defeat them, to reduce their dominance over his people. And to that end, or for that purpose, Samson was born. In fact, before he was born, when an angel came and talked to his mother, the angel delivered a bit of prophecy when he said, with your son, God will begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And of course, when the angel talked to Samson's mother, he told her, gave her some instructions. He says that that Samson was going to be a Nazarite from the womb. And therefore, mom, you could not drink wine or strong drink. You could eat no unclean thing. And of course, that was true for Samson when he was born. And God, and the angel also told his mother that no razor shall come upon his head. And of course, we know that his hair was the thing that God used to represent and to give him the great strength that he had. And at the end of the story, and we're not going to cover that this morning, but the end of the story of Samson, when he had his hair cut off, he lost that strength that God had given him. But the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, as he got a little bit older, moved him. And as God sought this occasion against the Philistines to bring them down, so to speak, he had Samson go down to a place named Timnath. And there he saw a Philistine girl, and he told his parents, "This is the one I want to marry. I want you to get her for me for my wife." And of course, they reacted like any set of parents would. Why can't you find a girl among the Israelites to marry? Why can't you find somebody among your own people? Why can't you find somebody, you know, that lives around us? Why do you have to be interested in this Philistine? And they did not know, his parents did not know, that God was using this as an occasion to start his judgment on the Philistine. So they went down together to arrange this marriage for their son. And on the way down in a vineyard, a lion attacked Samson. And the Bible says that with his bare hands, Samson rent or tore the lion in two. In other words, with his bare hands, he killed him. And then he went with his parents to arrange this marriage. And after a time, he returned to take this girl as his wife. And as he passed the vineyard, he said, "I think I'll just stop by and see this lion that I killed and see if the carcass is still there." And sure enough, the carcass was still there, and something sort of different had happened in the carcass. In the carcass of that lion, a bunch of bees had got together and made a hive, and there was honeycomb and honey in that hive in the carcass of that lion. And the Bible says that Samson took some of that honeycomb, and he ate it, and he gave it to his mother and father, and they ate it, but he did not tell them where it came from. He did not tell them that this honey and the honeycomb came from this carcass of this lion that he had killed sometime before. So he came to take this lady for his wife, and as was the custom back then, they had a feast. They called some folks together, 30 men, as we read a moment ago, to be part of this feast. And Samson said, "I have a riddle for you. And if you can tell me the answer to this riddle, I will give you 30 sheets or 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." And he said, "If you can tell me by the end of the feast. And if you don't tell me, then you have to give me these 30 sheets or these 30 linen garments and these 30 changes of clothes." And these 30 guys said, "Okay, that sounds like a fair deal. Tell us what the riddle is." And so, as we read a moment ago, he said, "Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness." Of course, now he was talking about the lion. He's talking about the eater that the bees had killed and made this honeycomb in. And so, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And this morning, that's the title and theme of my message. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. You know, I had a preacher one time that told me, he said, Darrell, every chapter that you read in the Bible, you ought to look for Jesus. Every chapter, he's there somewhere. And I already started reading the Bible. I said, you mean even though in those chapters in Second Chronicles, all those begats and begats and begats? And he said, yep, even there. He's in every chapter of the Bible. He said, sometimes you have to study and sometimes you have to pray. But in every chapter of the Bible, if you look for him, you will find the Savior. He said, from the book of Genesis and the first chapter in Genesis till the 22nd chapter in Revelation and all the chapters in between, if you look, you will find the Savior in the Word of God. And I believe that's true. I found him over and over and over in chapters in the Bible that from a casual reading, you might not say, well, Jesus is not in that chapter. But if you read and you study and you pray, he's in every chapter that's in this book. And he is in this chapter 14 of Judges as well. In fact, in this chapter, we see a wonderful picture that's painted of our Savior. And this morning, I want to paint that picture for you. To do so, I have to make 5 points. I have to tell you what some things in this story represent as it pictures our Savior. So number one, let me point out to you that in this story of the lion and Samson and the honey and the riddle, Samson represents Jesus. Because the Bible says that he came down seeking a bride. That's exactly what Jesus did. He came down seeking a bride. And every single person that's saved, every single person that knows him as their Savior makes up his bride. The church is his bride. Those born again is his bride. And so he came down from heaven, the Prince of heaven, the one that ruled at the Father's right hand. He left his glory. He left the splendor of heaven. He left his majesty, the majesty of heaven. And he came to this earth and he took the form of a man and became a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? To seek his bride. The Bible says that for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'll point out to you this morning that he came to seek every single one of us. He came to find every single one of us. He wants every single one of us to be saved and make up his bride. And I'll tell you, because he came to seek sinners, we're all in that category. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those verses describe each and every one of us. There is no person that lives on the face of this earth. And again, I know there are some little babies that die before they reach the age of accountability. And they don't know what sin is. And I believe that they go to heaven. If a little baby dies, they go to heaven to be with God. But if you reach that age of accountability, that age where you can tell the difference between right and wrong, that age where you begin to make decisions and know what's right, a right decision, and know what's a wrong decision, and you make that wrong decision, that makes you a sinner. And I'll be honest with you, I've never met any person that has reached that age of accountability that hasn't made a decision that's made them a sinner. Sometimes I talk to little children, and I've told you this before, they have a hard time understanding what sin is, and I have to give them some examples. Have you ever told a lie? Or have you ever disobeyed mom and dad? When I was talking to Leonard and John's brother in the hospital the other day, I said, Harold, you know you're a sinner? And he just smiled and shook his head. You see, when we are honest with ourselves, we know that we're sinners. We know we haven't lived up to the standard of God. And that's, we are the ones, listen to me, you are the one that Jesus left heaven for. We are the ones that he came to seek and to save. He wants every single one of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He left heaven for you. He came down seeking a bride. Number two, I would point out to you in this story that the lion that attacked Samson represents Satan. He represents Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, Satan started an attack on him. What Satan wanted to do was to destroy the plan of God. You see, God didn't wait until we sinned to come up with a plan about how to get us back to him. He didn't wait until that Adam committed that first sin in the Garden of Eden and say, "Hey, I need a plan to redeem man." God had a plan before the foundation of the world. He had a plan since eternity began. And that plan was to send his son to die in our place. That plan was to have a substitute that bore our sin for us. And when Jesus came to earth, Satan knew what that plan was. I mean, he used to be an archangel in heaven. And when Jesus came and took the form of a man, Satan did everything he could to mess up that plan. When Jesus was a baby, and Herod tried to kill, and did kill all the little babies that were under 2 years old in the area where Jesus was born. You know who was behind that? That was Satan. He was trying to kill Jesus as a little baby so that he could not grow up, so that he could not go to the cross, so that he could not bear our sin. When he started his earthly ministry and went out into the wilderness and was without food for 40 days, Satan came to him and tempted him and said, "Hey, you're hungry. You have the power to make these stones and turn them into bread. Why don't you do that?" And Jesus, again, quoted scripture and said, "Hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What Satan was trying to do was to get Jesus to make bread and disqualify himself as the Savior. Same thing when he said, "Hey, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms," as he displayed all the kingdoms of the earth, present and future. "You just bow down to me and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms." And Jesus said, again from the scripture, we don't worship anybody but God. And then he took him up to that high pinnacle and said, "Hey, if you jump down and test God and see if he says his angels will bear you up." And Jesus said, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, now Liberty, me and you are going to have a meeting of the minds here, little one. All right, Carrie, you know, there's a TV in that room back there. If she keeps going, you may want to go. All right, so listen, all those temptations in the wilderness, every single one of them, that's exactly what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to disqualify the Savior. He was trying to get him to do something so that he couldn't go to the cross. Same thing. When Jesus, there was a couple illustrations, a couple stories in the Bible where Jesus was in a crowd and he had said something the leaders didn't like, and they picked up stones and they were going to throw stones at him. Or they had him on the top of a hill and they were going to push him off the side of that hill. That Satan was behind that. He was trying to break a bone. The Passover lamb could not have a broken bone. And if they had thrown a stone, even a small bone in his hand, or he had been tossed over the side of that hill and broke a bone in his foot, he would have been disqualified from being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was Satan trying to destroy the plan of God. And all throughout Jesus' life on this earth, Satan was trying to disqualify him from being the Savior. Until one day, and here's where it gets good. Number three, our Savior took that lion and ripped him in two. He did that on Calvary's cross. When he went, and by the way, you say, Jesus didn't kill Satan. Satan's still alive and well. I know, but listen, here's what I mean. Satan was torn in two. It wasn't by Michael and the angels from heaven. It wasn't by any great strength. Christ tore him in two when he went to Calvary. When he took all our sins upon himself and he died. And before he died, he cried out, "It is finished. The plan of God is complete." Everything that needs to be done is done. Satan, you have no more chance of foiling the plan of God. You have no more chance of messing it up. It is done. It's completed. And at that moment, Satan, his plan to destroy God's salvation was ripped in two. He was destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And from the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted man in the Garden of Eden, trying to mess up God's plan, all the way up to the night before the crucifixion, he tried to mess up God's plan. But when Jesus went to the cross, when he died, the plan was done. Satan didn't have another chance. He was ripped in two. But number four, the carcass of that old lion is still here. Just like the carcass of that lion that Samson killed was left in the vineyard where he killed it, so the carcass of the lion that Jesus destroyed on Calvary is still in this earth. Satan's still here. And just like that carcass, he is rotten. He stinks. He affects everything around him. Now, he's still defeated. He doesn't have a chance of victory, but his stink and his rot is behind a lot of the things that go on in this world. You know, we want to know why we have abortion? Because the stink of Satan is still in this world. You want to know why we have all these gay rights, queer rights, and all this other stuff going on? It's because the stink of Satan is still in this world. You want to know why we have wars and everything else that happens? Because the stink of Satan is still in this world. Every bar, every casino, every dirty movie, every dirty song. I could go on and so could you. But it's because the stink of his carcass is still in this world. But number five, something happened in that carcass. Huh? Something's happening in that carcass. You see, in that carcass, there's a bunch of bees that have built a hive. Those bees are Christians. We live in this world in the stinking carcass of old Satan. But in the middle of that rottenness, in the middle of that stink, we have built a hive. And there's honey. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You see, when the bees went into that carcass of the lion, they didn't try to clean it up. They didn't say, we got to get rid of all this rottenness. We got to get rid of all this stink before we can build a hive. What they did is, they just went to work. They built a hive. And then they started producing honey. And the same thing is true today. Our job is not to clean up this world. We'd like to, and we ought to exercise the privileges that we have to vote people in that will do their part to, you know, get rid of some of the things that we don't like. But our job, like the bees, is not to clean up the carcass. In fact, I don't think we ever will. We'll live in it till Jesus comes. But our job is to be like the bees. So you say, oh, preacher, so our job is to make honey. No. Our job's not to make honey. A bee's job is to not make honey. That's just the byproduct. The bee's main job is to pollinate, to spread life. And honey is just the result of that. And Gary, you may correct me if I've got this all wrong with my example, but the main purpose of the bee is to pollinate things, to pass life. And that's our job. Our job is to go and tell people about Jesus. Our job is to go and tell people that they're sinners and there's a penalty for that sin and that Jesus paid the penalty. And if they just ask him, he would save them. That's our job. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said that to Christians. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And our job is to go like the little bee, spread life, pollinate. And as we do that, something sweet results. Now, just like Samson one day came back to the carcass of that lion and reached in and drew out the honeycomb and the honey, one of these days he's going to come back to this world and he's going to reach down and he's going to take out the hive. He's going to take out the honeycomb and he's going to take us to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And one of these days, from the stink of the rottenness of the carcass of Satan in this old world, our Savior's going to come and pluck us out and take us home. Will you be ready? You be ready? The only way you'll be ready is to know him as your Savior. The only way you'll be ready is to admit that you're a sinner and ask him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you've never done it, you can do it right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He wants you to come just like you are. Just like you are. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful stories in the Bible that even at first glance, maybe we can't see the Savior. If we think about him, we can see him. Thank you for the picture from this chapter in the book of Judges. How you left heaven and you came to seek us. And Father, how you rent that old lion and tore him in pieces. And today we can enjoy the salvation that you offer to every person because of what Christ did on Calvary. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray right now, Father, that they would see their sin, they would see the price of their sin, and they would come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, there's many Christians that are here this morning. Help us to understand our job is not to clean up this old world. I mean, we should do our part, but our job is not to clean it up. It's to spread life. It's to take the seed of the gospel and to share it with as many people as we can. And so I pray you'll help us to do that. Bless this time of invitation. Lord, use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.